we started as a just singer, guitarist, bass player. We didn't ever find a drummer. So initially, we played out some of our biggest shows with a drum machine, which now doesn't seem like a big deal. Mm. But back then, it was kind of not, it was kind of unheard of.
It was seen as being fake back then. You know, there were a couple bands doing it. You know, Sisters of Mercy maybe comes to mind. Some other bands early on, like Echo and the Bunnymen maybe. But it was just out of, we just wanted to play out so bad and we couldn't find anybody. So we just bought a drum machine and played out for a while. And then we played out for probably about a year with the drum machine and opened up for a lot of really bigger bands coming through. But then, you know, we just were lacking the power of a live drummer.
We auditioned a ton of drummers. We ended up with Roger Brogan, who you hear a lot of the drums on iDazzler. We were in the university area. We were all kind of students. Everyone kind of had their own projects going or were part of another project. We ended up really clicking really well, and we got a lot of music out for the time that we were together. It seemed a shame not to put it out. You know, we kind of parted ways. We moved out of the state. Everyone kind of went their own ways. So we just always felt like we really need to document what we did, because we did play a lot of festivals, we played a lot of shows, and so that's what became of iDazzler.
It was kind of the byproduct of just playing out a ton. What you hear on the record is just, it was basically live takes.
Wow, yeah.
In just our rehearsal, it's almost like a warehouse space. Mm-hmm. So we did most of the recording there, all of it actually.
That's amazing.
That's what you hear, it's just the byproduct of us playing out for years and learning how to wrangle feedback, learning how to make a lot of noise.
No, that's amazing, because you can't tell when you're listening to it. Like, it sounds really well recorded. And you mentioned just then, it's a culmination of what you were playing at the time. It's super tight, like all of the songs feel well selected and curated. What kind of went into the selection process?
I know we spent a lot of time with it, and we didn't have the pressure of a label. We didn't have the pressure of the band at the time. We didn't have any shows. We had already broken up by the time we sequenced it, and a lot of thought went into it. Believe me, we probably tried millions of different combinations to choose what was on the record. It was just everything we'd recorded
everything
at the time.
We didn't have
any stray material.
Well, we had lots of songs, but we just never got around to recording everything that we had kind of pressed to tape and we were able to scrap together to put on the record. We did kind of a trade with one of the engineers that we worked with. He said he'd come over and kind of help record us. And then we just paid to have a rack built, a wooden rack built, so he could have his whole studio be mobile. It was this huge, massive maple closet looking thing that he would wheel into our garage space to record us at the time.
Or you didn't have a vehicle, you have to line up a truck.
Yeah.
Go pick him up, pick up this monstrosity. Mm-hmm. And it was so heavy, it took like four people to lift. We put it in the back of our truck, roll it out into the studio.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times we did that. We'd have to buy him sandwiches or something.
You know, it was different. Today, you have so much technology at your fingertips, and we had to really be creative with how we would record, and we would slap these PZM microphones on big slabs of cardboard, or not cardboard, plywood. And then we'd hang those up in the clubs too, just to get any live recording, get anything that we could on tape to just do something with.
That's really cool. I think there's something really special about live recordings as well, like the rawness of it.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. It can be overproduced. It sounds real. It's not so polished that you listen. Everything is AI these days. People are desperate for anything that's real. There is just something for it being raw and live, and mistakes happen.
I think too, at least in terms of us, it's like we'd rather bring someone into our little world. When everyone's using the same triggers, everyone's using the same samples, I just think it gets homogenized a little bit.
With shoegaze, it sucks the listener in, because there's this ambient texture that really is super captivating, and just you can't hear anything else.
Should envelop you.
Exactly. I read you played with Bail to Space.
Mm-hmm.
They're a band from New Zealand. My dad actually has a lot of their records.
His all-time favorite band.
No way!
We have a license plate on our Subaru that says Valter.
No way.
I don't know what it is about them that just draws me in. They're hard to listen to for long periods of time. They're very abrasive, angular sometimes, but they're my favorite band. Very beautiful moments, but very
really beautiful moments.
Savage moments too. they're just the coolest dudes. They just exude coolness when they played.
Playing with a lot of other artists that you, well, clearly love, what was that environment like? How was that influencing you in terms of the music that you were making?
At least for the music we were playing, at that period, you were just exposed to all these new sounds. I guess My Bloody Valentine comes to mind because the guitars were just so out of this world. We bought My Bloody Valentine on cassette, and we thought the tape was warped. When we first bought it, we thought there was something malfunctioning with the tape. We just never heard guitar textures like that.
Yeah.
So that was just, it was just all discovery back then, you know? Mm-hmm. Or just wondering, how did they get that sound? Remember, we saw Chapter House live, and we were just, how did they get those guitar sounds? How, you know, we just were on the hunt, and you don't have the internet at your fingertips.
We spent hours and hours at record stores just going through imports, and it just seemed like at the time everything coming out of England, like Chapter House, Ride, Boo Radley's, like all those bands, they were just doing really interesting things. The sound was just unique and interesting, and it was, you know, we grew up in the States, so it was just kind of hard rock. It was just so totally just a soundscape that just we hadn't ever really heard of before. So
right.
We just embracing that and like, how could we be pretty and noisy and have like this like wall of sound that just kind of hits you? So yeah, that definitely influenced us.
When I read that, I got so excited. I ran downstairs and I said to my dad, they know one of your favorite bands. I also wanted to touch maybe briefly on, because your lyrics walk this really nice line between being really accessible and understandable, but also figurative and interesting and metaphorical. What is the lyric writing process like for you? Like, who's doing it and like how collaborative is it? And when you were writing the album, like what was kind of inspiring you at the time?
Well, Adam is the primary songwriter, like lyricist. So I'll let him answer that. I come in more towards the end when it comes to phrasing.
Right.
Sometimes we have to change things, but.
Yeah, I mean, Catherine comes in more and more like a producer at the end. Make things just
work.
Give it that extra little push over the cliff. No, lyric-wise, it's really tough. I mean, I start on guitar always. Mm-hmm. I just don't pull things out of the ether. So I usually have a framework, and it's basically just a process of stumbling.
Oh, the imagery is very important to you.
Yeah, so. But you know, I don't start with some
like
kind
an
of
idea.
A vision or an idea what the song's going to be. It's just randomly stumbling in the dark.
Right.
And mostly it just starts off with just mumbling melodies, mumbling phrases, and then trying to fit words, and then you get a couple words slapped together.
Yes.
And then it starts to make sense. The next word is easier sometimes.
Sometimes a story develops. Sometimes it is really just beautiful words that create imagery that really work together, you know?
As far as writing, just writing lyrics on a page, I don't do that. It's just impossible. It's like a, you know, it's like a writer with a blank page. I wouldn't even know where to start. But
yeah.
You throw one word down, you throw down two words, the third word's easier, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it kind of organically all comes together at the same time.
Right.
And it doesn't all happen at once. I mean, we have songs sitting around for years before we can figure out where they go. Yeah, I view it almost like just, you watch videos of people tripping and they just trying to not fall and they just keep
stumbling forward.
And then as long as you can stay on your feet, you're always like falling forward.
Now with these latest two singles, were they songs that you had written in the 90s or are they more recent developments?
Those were older songs as
Oh,
well.
Oh, okay, cool. So there's more? Will we be hearing more?
The two singles, the bass tracks were recorded back maybe at the right at the tail end of doing iDazzler.
Right.
And they just didn't work out on the record, space-wise and stylistically.
Mm-hmm.
But the lyrics on both those songs are new.
Right.
So, yeah, it was almost like
That was a full reworking. So we had original recordings for both of those songs, drum, bass, guitars. We took out some of the bits. And then we added new guitars and we added new lyrics, new melody, really.
Yeah,
until we were happy with them. So they sound a little bit more polished than the LP, but they are like some, the drums and bass especially, that's from back in the 90s. So
wow. Amazing.
Yeah, so we recorded a dozen. That was the first song that I had ever written for the band, mm-hmm. and the first song we'd ever recorded for the band, first song I'd ever mixed for the band. And so after years of playing and developing our live stuff, we decided to go in and record Dozen again. And so it's a little bit different. It's more like what we played live back in the day.
I think we were never happy with some of the songs because live it is bigger sounding. And that was part of recording back then, too. It was really hard to find people that understood the music and understood how big it needed to sound. So everything would get squashed down when we'd go to record. So I think it's a little bit bigger. It's just different, but we like it. So there'll be an EP coming out that'll have Far and So Far Away. And we have two. So it'll be five songs.
Yeah, five songs.
That's so exciting.
So there'll be two songs that people haven't heard before on it.
Cool. Yeah. That's so exciting. It's time. We want some more music.
Yeah, there's demos. There's nothing out there. They're brand new. So
nice.
That's a good one.
Amazing. And I just had one last question. I don't have TikTok, but your Instagram is really funny to me because you repost all of the, videos with people using your songs. What's it been like to kind of have, I guess, a new generation of like shoegaze lovers find your music?
It's amazing. It's just amazing. It's so cool. We kind of knew something was bubbling up. Our oldest son, when he was in high school, this was just a few years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he said, "I have these friends," and there was this Reddit thread about Allison's Halo.
There is,
and I kept telling them that's my mom and dad, and they wouldn't believe me. So then we had all these kids coming to our house because we have a music studio off the side of the house, and to kind of verify that it was legit. We are like, how are these kids talking about us on a Reddit thread on shoegaze, and how do they know about shoegaze, and what's going on here? And then, a couple of years later, this kind of all exploded. So
yeah,
it's so fun, and it's just been neat to just meet so many people that the music has just kind of just hit them in such a way that it's just important to them, and it's just wonderful.
It feels really amazing because we sunk so much of our lives into recording that. The sequencing and everything, we just put so much thought into it. I mean, we were just kind of exhausted by the time the whole thing was done.
Right.
Because we lived it for so long.
Thank you. ask.